the worlds of rural Wisconsin and the New Yorker magazine may not cross paths often, but our next guest is an exception.
Liam Francis Walsh grew up on a farm here in the state, and in the course of his life, he set a very specific goal. He wanted to be a cartoonist for the New Yorker, the pinnacle of ironic, single-panel, humorous cartoons.
And now he's done it. Liam Francis Walsh is an illustrator and writer. His work appears in The New Yorker and elsewhere. His children's book, titled Fish, is due out next year. You can see some of his work, by the way, linked on the Central Time Facebook page. He joins us from Switzerland, where he now lives. Liam, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, before you were a cartoonist appearing in a big city magazine, you were a kid growing up in rural Wisconsin. Now, whereabouts did you grow up?
I grew up not far from Wheeler, Wisconsin, which is not far from Boyceville, Wisconsin, which is not far from Menominee, Wisconsin, which people may have heard of.
And you were on a dairy farm growing up, is that right?
That's right, yeah, yeah. We had cows and chickens and pigs different years, had honeybees, we made maple syrup, ground our own cornmeal, all of that stuff. So basically just the average, basic 1980s Wisconsin childhood.
As I understand it, though, from your website, you had a pet crow at some point in there?
I did, yeah. I know it sounds stranger than fiction, but a man from our church who was blind climbed a tree and got it for me. Yeah, I don't know if he got it for other kids or not, but that was the story.
And the crow, did it live inside or in your yard?
It was in a cage part of the time, and then it would hang out on my wrist and walk around with me. I had a work glove, a leather glove, that it would just perch on. And then one time, eventually, I guess it was sort of for a summer that I had it, and at the end of the summer, as far as I knew, it sort of flew away, and we said, well, that's nature. My mom told me when I was an adult that she saw it get taken by a hawk.
Oh, no.
She didn't tell me till I was grown.
Well, how did you get started on the path from the dairy farm to being a cartoonist?
You know, I've maybe vaguely remember seeing The New Yorker at the laundromat as a kid, but I don't remember too much. Maybe a few Charles Adams cartoons here and there. I think my grandparents had a book of his stuff. But, yeah, it wasn't really part of our life growing up. When I was in the Virgin Islands, I guess growing up, I eventually moved to northern Wisconsin and lived on a lake, and I was really into sailing, and so got really into this idea of, going to sea, as it were, and eventually left and went to Florida and worked on boats and found my way to the Caribbean. And there, a lot of the tourists from New York would leave their New Yorkers behind, and I would pick them up and sort of fell in love with the magazine. This was during a time. The Caribbean is known for many things, but having great access to the news and to media isn't one of them. So this was where I was sort of discovering what was going on in the invasion of Iraq and then, the secret stuff going on behind the scenes. And I was really blown away by this magazine that seemed to be so deep compared to the fairly shallow Caribbean lifestyle of drinking and swimming. And I fell in love with the magazine, and then I suspected they probably weren't going to invite me to write for them, but I thought maybe cartooning was something I could do.
So you didn't set out to be a cartoonist and see where it led. You wanted to be a cartoonist in The New Yorker.
Yeah, those were the cartoons that interested me, and frankly, they still interest me. Definitely lots of other publications have had wonderful cartoonists and wonderful cartoons, but your basic average cartoon didn't interest me so much as that there was something kind of interesting going on in The New Yorker. There was something different going on that I found to be intriguing, smart, funny in a way that made you think. And of course, not all of them are like that. I'll be the first to admit that not all of them are even comprehensible. But at their best, there was something special about them.
Yeah, that's a running joke sometimes. I think it happened on Seinfeld, the inscrutability of those New Yorker comics. Is that something that you try to avoid in yours?
I do. You know, every once in a while, somebody says they just don't get mine. But it's not because I made it purposely inscrutable. It's because somehow it didn't communicate properly. I do think that sometimes they put ones in there that are kind of inscrutable. They like that mystique.
How did you get your foot in the door there? You had one object, and you made it happen.
Yeah, looking back, it all seems like it was so simple, but actually it was years and years of sending cartoons off to what seemed like the void. One winter I was came home to Wisconsin and was staying with my mom while she was recovering from a surgery, and it was winter in Wisconsin, as everybody knows, and I was inside a lot and started drawing cartoons and sending them out. And, 5 years later, I finally sold one.
We're talking to Liam Francis Walsh, originally of or near Wheeler, Wisconsin, now a cartoonist, often appearing in The New Yorker. Liam, I understand that as of a couple of years ago, you did not own a smartphone. Is that still true?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine about how, everybody needs a narrative, and my narrative seemed to be that I was a Luddite. I would say it's more that I'm a slow adopter or a late adopter. I do have a smartphone, yeah.
You do now, okay.
Breaking news.
But a lot of your cartoons, I think this made people look at that because a lot of your cartoons seem to focus on the role of technology in our lives, our preoccupation with technology. Why is that such rich ground for humor these days?
I guess it's one of those things that is so many of the tropes of comedy and of the New Yorker card, the iconic New Yorker cartoon in particular, are really... They're not necessarily particularly fertile anymore. They've been fertile for decades, like the guy at the therapist or something. And I've done those cartoons, and they're fun. I did one this week, in fact. But it's fun to... It might be a little bit easier to get a fresh idea when there's actually a fresh thing in the news, thing going on and all around us. Gosh, if there's one thing going on around us, it's everybody checking their smartphone, so... And I guess that was maybe a little bit, when I didn't have a phone, it was a little bit snotty of me, too, to sort of be a little bit superior to people. So I guess, I'm not sure, but I found it very funny and very ubiquitous.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to convey cartoons on the radio. I'll try with one of yours. A couple are on a tour. They're looking at the Statue of Liberty, and one holds up a phone and says, "Look at the picture I took of the thing we're looking at." That's the kind of thing that strikes you about how technology shows up in our lives, it seems like.
Hey, well, it's funny you choose that one, because that one, actually, I'm speaking to you from my mother-in-law's house, and she inspired that one.
Oh, really?
She's from Switzerland, and she was visiting in New York, and we were... in Central Park, and we kept stopping every 2 minutes for her to snap a picture and then show us, and she's wonderful, but that was definitely that sort of snotty side that comes out where in your head you go, right, look at the picture of the thing we're looking at. So not all of them are that organic. Not all of them come like that. Sometimes it's just coming up with a funny picture and then trying to think of how to tie it all together, but that was a very autobiographical one.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the process there, because there was a video of you online talking about how your ideas emerge, and it involves lots of little notebooks, it sounds like.
Tons of little notebooks. When I just moved from New York, and I had to pack all of these little notebooks in somewhere. And it's funny, I still go through them and find all sorts of little tidbits that can turn into, that aren't necessarily ideas yet, but can maybe spark something, and maybe something that was almost an idea then can catch fire from something that's going through my head now. It's great. That's the number one thing I think that made me into a cartoonist was when I or into taking myself seriously as anything artistic was when I started taking my ideas seriously and writing them down instead of letting them flit away.
And say you, after we get off the phone here, if you put something in a notebook now, it might never be anything. It might lead to something next week, or you might look back at it in a year, and it'll develop into a different idea.
Exactly. I mean, there's a very good chance. It's probably 90% chance that it'll never be anything. Although maybe that's not true, because maybe as soon as you start writing, you start thinking, and it's a good way to think, and so you don't know whether it's going to actually have anything. I may not necessarily know that it's because I jotted that thing in my notebook last week, so I might say that was a waste, but the reality is that it all adds up to thinking.
This might be a lesson for any creative person out there, or would be creative person. If you want to be a cartoonist, start drawing stuff.
It's funny, if people push that idea a lot, start drawing stuff or start writing. Either way, I guess one is visual and the other is less so. But somehow I feel like starting to let your thoughts string out instead of being this sort of vague mist in your head. Once you start putting on paper, you got to start thinking about them, whether it's the drawing or the writing, and you got to start putting one thought after another. It's really the same. And you really got to take it seriously and make it work, because a drawing that's half done is only half done, whereas a thought that's half done, kind of, you might be able to fool yourself that it's done.
You've been drawing cartoons for adults, not adult comics, I guess, exactly, but in The New Yorker. You've got a children's book coming out next year called A Fish. What's different about tackling a children's-oriented project?
You know, my agent, Dan, who's really great and who really encouraged me into this and who really gave me tons of feedback, he encouraged me to try to think of each page as a cartoon, you know, with children, which I don't have any, but I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and I like to spend time with them. And then, you know, they don't have the greatest attention span. And so he wanted every page to try to be a cartoon. Something has to happen every page. Every time you turn the page, there's something fresh happening. We're not spending three or four pages dithering and you know, like Hamlet, where it's got to charge forward. And so that was really how he related, or how I related those two things together. But the fact of the matter is that some ideas don't work well in a single panel. And so I was always interested in comics. I always read comics. And the picture book is a little bit like that, just where each page is a panel instead of having, you know, nine panels on a page.
Now, your travels, your life, have taken you from Wisconsin to New York. You mentioned the Caribbean, Switzerland. Is there still something uniquely, you think, Wisconsin or Midwestern that is a part of your creative life?
You know, I take lots of walks. I love nature, and I grew up in the countryside. So, you know, seeing birds, seeing the cows, and they actually wear bells around their necks. So it's really like a fairy tale. lots of that stuff is very Wisconsin-y. I think that I don't know if it's something that Wisconsin people are proud of or not, or too humble to. But Wisconsin people are really nice, and I always, whether it be creatively or otherwise, I always tried to bring that friendliness and that niceness, and still try to bring it to Switzerland, and creatively as well. That I wouldn't necessarily, it might keep me from ever being on the cutting edge, but I wouldn't necessarily want to write a book or a cartoon that my mom wouldn't look at. You know,
Liam, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Liam Francis Walsh, cartoonist, contributor to The New Yorker magazine, and author of the children's book Fish, due out in 2016.